It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 12th day of July, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and where you will be greeted by the early arrivers, Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a spacing guild master, a third stage guild navigator, in fact, has declined to fold space and become Man Cave. He's staying Sparky this afternoon. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And, Lord, we've got some Titanic intellect to feature this evening. My goodness gracious, we do. But before we do any of that, we have to say thank you to our 12th day of the month subscribers and contributors. Thank you so much for helping to keep the program on the air. Thanks to Gary in New York. And thank you to Paul. Thank you so much for being partial sponsors of the program. We are entering into the not very many co-sponsors, subscribers portion of the month. And it's a good time to remind you that if you'd like to be a brand new $10 a month subscriber, and golly Moses, wouldn't that be wonderful? Setting you back less than half of the price of a stick of, a single stick of Wrigley's chewing gum per show, less than half of that. Our buddy Zed is more than happy to double your first month's subscription at $10 and turn it into 20 for you if you'd like to see that happen and take a little bit of the stress and strain off of this here independent liberal progressive radio broadcast. That would be wonderful. So please think about that. Fundraising goal, $1,100. That means we need to raise today, which interestingly is Tuesday, Titanic Tuesday. Today, yesterday, Friday, and $200 of Thursday. It'd be great to actually finish fundraising for, you know, a week in the same week that it happened, but that's where we are. And I hope it doesn't continue on this way, because it kind of makes it really hard to do this show. With that having been said, program note. And you know how this usually goes. If the last thing you hear is a bunch of things going beep 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 beep, and then the program goes away, you will know that, well, Appalachian Power's antiquated, crummy, held together with baling wire, spit and toilet paper and chewing gum wrappers, coal-fried power grid has gone down again, and because of the thunder, has run under the bed and hidden. Even as brave little Cletus stays out from under the bed, because she's a brave puppy, Cletus is. Hey, Steve. Hey, Karen. No, we are under a severe thunderstorm warning, and we've already been through power blinks 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So things don't look promising. Usually we're gone by power blink 3. But, you know, keep hope alive. And by the way, just to, in order to help get a little bit, get us started, Ralph's has a challenge. $25, please, to help bring us down from this $1,100, or down to up from this $1,100 abandoned well. That would get us, if somebody would like to match that, that'll get us to $1,050. And that's a huge help. Well, damn it, Scott in San Diego, half a stick of gum. Scott says, make mine T-berry. Do they still make T-berry? And what the hell is a T-berry anyway? One, T-berry is not a product of the Wrigley Chewing Gum Company. I was referring to your Double Mint, your Spearmint, and your Juicy Fruit, which I happened to price one day at $1 for 5 sticks. In the Wally world, and it was a product of, I believe, the Clark Company, wasn't it? Yeah. And tea berry is exactly that, tea berry, also sometimes known as mountain tea, and it tastes exactly like tea berry gum. Tastes like, and they still make it. The only difference being that the taste of tea berry lasts longer than the flavor in tea berry gum. Tea berry is so good, but damn it, it just doesn't have a lot of staying power. But there's our trivia for the evening. Oh, there's another peal of thunder. And so the Appalachian Power coal-fried power grid is shaking and quaking like a dog trying to pass a peach pit. It's not promising. But like I said, it is Titanic Tuesday. It is a day for taking note of manifestations of Titanic right-wing intellect. And we do, oh Lord, we do have examples. You know, with this latest, this clip that I have queued up here, where I've got the right button, I got the volume up, I got everything going for me. But with this clip, you have to think, you have to have some sympathy. And I know it's hard to find and it's difficult to manifest, but you got to have some sympathy for Tommy Potato Farm and Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and XXX Marsha Blackburn, because they've all got to be looking at Herschel Walker and saying, my God, if he gets in here, no way will we ever be able to reclaim our crown as the tripartite caucus of the most stupid human beings in the entire Senate of the United States. Because right now it's kind of a battle with perhaps this evening a little bit of a cameo from insurrectionist Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri stand. But I think we have an agreement. I mean, don't we? The stupidest person in the United States Senate has got to be either Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mills there, or Marsha, goodness, XXX Blackburn, or the insurrectionist hider under desks, Tommy Potato Farm, Tuber Villa. Yeah. It won't stay that way for long. Not if Herschel Walker gets in there. Because Herschel decided to unburden himself of, and I mean, this really is genuinely, really and for truly Titanic intellect. I mean, this is like being on the bow of the Titanic and seeing the iceberg and saying, quick, Somebody hand me a Bic lighter. I'm going to melt that sumbitch. Ooh, that was a good one. And Ferg is cooking for all he's worth in the kitchen right now, trying to get dinner in. Because we all know what's coming. We do. And we're all uninterruptible power supplied up here, but they just don't stay going that long. It gives you just enough time to get crap turned off so that you don't have this, you know, sudden collapse in all of one's highfalutin electronic devices. And it is a not unpleasant 79 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. But anyway, being as how he's a Republican and a maggot, and Republicans and maggots don't acknowledge the science of climate change, Herschel had something to say. And get the hockey puck, y'all, because this is some of the stupidest 70 seconds that have ever been heard on this program. And Titanic Tuesday has featured some really top shelf stupid.
That he got rid of the pipeline. Getting rid of the pipeline, getting rid of our energy starts his downfall. Because we need energy for everything.
Herschel is apparently upset about a pipeline, probably the Keystone XL, maybe. I don't know. You got to get rid of the pipeline because you got to have energy, and that's how the downfall comes. And there we go. And we're back. Yeah, are we back? I just remember that because of all the Hitler finds out videos that proliferated a few years ago all over the interweb tubes. Oh, that's two. Oh, please, God, let us get this clip in.
Do y'all know that? Yeah. And they were talking about the Green New Deal.
Yeah, nobody's talking about the Green New Deal. That's so 2016 or so? 18, maybe? Been a while? Green New Deal? To his credit, though, Herschel just found out about it.
You know, climate change. I'm going to help y'all with that real quickly, and I'm going to do it in the Wrightsville way so you can understand what I'm saying.
Okay, the Wrightsville, Georgia explanation of climate change. Get out your mortar boards and crank up your MP3 players playing Gaudiamus Igitur or whatever, and because we're going to school with Herschel. Oh, no. No, no.
Riders on the storm, dum-dum-dum-dum, and the show is gone, dum-dum-dum-dum.
We, in America, have some of the cleanest air and cleanest water of anybody in the world.
Yeah, we got some of the cleanest air and cleanest water of anybody in the world here in America. As long as you don't look at it too hard or measure it too much.
What we do is we're going to put from the Green New Deal millions or billions of dollars cleaning our good air up.
We're going to spend billions of dollars from the Green New Deal cleaning our good air. Now, where were we before all the beeping started and the hail started falling? Hail the size of canned hams, y'all. Absolutely.
No, but we got some hail. It got real clicky out there. And I opened the door, shot a few seconds of video, got a blast of rain right in the face. Very cold rain, I might add. And it's coming down sideways. It's basically moving southwest to northeast. It's a mess right now. But, no, when we were so rudely interrupted by Mother Nature, Herschel had just told us... Let me just check real quick. We still there? Okay, y'all still there? Yep, okay. We're back.
There's a killer on the road.
No singing. We got an $1,100 fundraising goal going here in the middle of a thunderstorm. Shut up, Robin. we gotta clean up the good air. I think that's where we were, wasn't it? That's right.
So what we do is we're gonna put from the Green New Deal billions of dollars cleaning our good air up. So all of a sudden China and India ain't putting nothing in there cleaning that situation up. So all that bad air is still there. But since we don't control the air, good air decided to float over to China, bad air. So when China...
Yeah. Our good air decide to float over to China. Because air... y'all know this? Because I didn't. Air makes decisions. And let that sink in. I told you that if you didn't get the hockey puck, it's entirely on you. Air makes decisions. Oh, no. Tommy the Tuber and Marsha Triple X Blackburn and Ron... y'all so screwed. My God, can you imagine? Remember back during the second impeachment when Reverend Warnock made his speech in support of convicting Donald Trump? And we all agreed it was one of the most moving moments probably in the history of Senate oratory. Remember that? This is what the Republicans want to replace that with. Decisional air.
China gets our good air, their bad air gotta move. So it moves over to our good air space. And now we gotta clean that back up. Dad, you got real on.
Yeah, see the, and it just goes on and on and on. We're just gonna be forever cleaning up the dirty Chinese and Indian air. Well, I mean, the planet is round. I guess he's got a... Holy God. Just take a moment and ponder the filibuster that Herschel might bestow upon a nation that really didn't know how much it was going to be grieving before the grieving started. Mother. Yeah. Did you say Cameo in New York City? You made me think of the former New York City mayor's personal video for sale. Not that kind of Cameo. Quit that. Second blip, Lee observed. This is a big one. Oh, yes, it was. That was the one that came with the hail. Scott in San Diego says, when it comes to picking the most stupid GOP member of the Senate, I'd call the Crown Factory and special order a metric slew of them via rush delivery by Pineapple Express if it's not too costly. With that crew, single solitary fool's gold foil crown simply won't be enough. Oh, Herschel. And just think of the other Republicans who have been... I mean, like, Dr. Oz is running up in Pennsylvania, and right now, John Fetterman, you know, Dr. Oz spent gamillions of dollars buying mansions and yachts and shit, and, well, John Fetterman spent some of his own money to buy homes that had been foreclosed on so that people could continue to have roofs over their heads. Scott says, let's confuse old Hirsch. Give him a call and ask him to share his thoughts on the jet stream. Shouldn't take long to get his comprehensive answer. Bonus points if he can spell comprehensive. I know.
Comprehusive?
Damn. He's dumb. I mean, breathtaking dumb. But I mentioned that we might have a cameo appearance by young Josh Hawley of Missouri Stan. And indeed we shall. There was an abortion access and the law hearing in the Senate Committee on the Judiciary where, for some reason known but to God, Josh Hawley sits. I mean, he's been to a law school. He's been to a really highfalutin law school. And I guess he majored in right-wing assholery. Okay. And a witness was called up, a law professor, I think, from UC Berkeley. I think, what do they call their law school there? Bolt Hall, B-O-A-L-T Hall, yeah. And she faced withering questioning from Titanic into Titanic legal mind, Josh Hawley. Remember yesterday how we had that master class put on by Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg talking on Fox News Sunday and didn't let the babbling Fox host get a word in edgewise unless he, Pete Buttigieg, decided he should get to say something? Well, this is another one of those moments.
Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it.
Because he doesn't he pretends he doesn't understand this phrase.
You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Yeah, because he's clever. Would that be women? Oh, Josh. There you sit with your head attached to your neck and she's about to hand it to you. You know, if it was anybody but Josh Hawley, might be tempted to feel some sympathy. But this insurrectionist piece of garbage? No sympathy.
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis...
Now, this is new. It's not even particularly... It's just intelligent. She is so... This is a proud son of, I don't know, Yale Law School, Harvard Law School, one of those fancy-ass Ivy League law schools that keeps turning out the terrible, terrible, terrible people who become right-wing Republican maggot politicians and are hailed as being some sort of intelligent person. This neo-maxi Zoom dweeby couldn't pass Professor Bridges' class on a dare.
Cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable.
Again, this is Kiara Bridges, UC Berkeley, law professor. And she's going to break it down real slow so Joshy can understand.
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize
that this impacts...
The best part is she smiles at him because she knows the stupid game that he's trying to play.
This is not a women's rights issue.
Well, as RBG famously pointed out, it's actually a privacy issue and needs to be understood as such. But Dr. Bridges was brought in and she's a law professor and Josh Hawley is not, for a very good reason, as will become obvious. I mean, after all, there are a lot of women, cis women, who cannot become pregnant. No argument on that, right?
capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize
that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
Oh, so your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not...
Yes! 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 This brilliant law professor just called a sitting member of the United States Senate, who happens to be a Republican, sent by the morons of Missouri to the Senate of the United States, a transphobe, mainly because he is. And she not only calls him a transphobe, she explains what him being a transphobe means for people who are trans.
Senator Hawley.
Oh, so your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist.
That leads to my.
Thank you. God, she's good. Oh, if only she was questioning him and he was on trial for his life. Too bad. Because, see, the way he behaves, when he opens his mouth this way, trans people are on trial for their lives. And he thinks he's so smart, and she's making him out to be the fool that he is.
People exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist?
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
Where
they're told that they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot just
from
this exchange.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary.
Yep.
Ms. Matsky, Professor...
Somebody, is there another witness? Anybody, please? Get her away from me. My penis is feeling very tiny right now. The scary black lady is intimidating me. Oh, what a piece of shit. Josh Hawley truly is. Hi, Missourians and Kenda, of course, I'm not talking to you or any of the other members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who are in Missouri. But what the fuck is wrong? Y'all want to chime in and help me here? What the fuck is wrong with the people of the state of Missouri that send a brass-bound, addle-pated, neo-maxi-zoom dweeby like Josh Hawley to the Senate, who, interestingly enough, don't forget, feels like he just might be presidential timber? Yeah. Lord God, the stupid there. We've almost had too much stupid in the first 30 minutes of this program for a program to be able to sustain. I mean, down in the bowels of the Titanic, they're shoveling coal into the boilers, making flank speed for the iceberg right now. Going back to Herschel for a moment and. Scott in San Diego's question, Tom in sunny San Rafael answers, Herschel and the jet stream, comprehensive hell, I'll be surprised if he can spell jet. And now I've got a Paul McCartney song stuck in my head. Thanks, Tom. I bet Lady B does, too. Was your father as bold as a sergeant major? You know, there's nothing quite like thunder in the mountains. I'll just be quiet while the sky talks. It just bounces off hill and back and dale and back and forth. It's like some sort of sonic ping pong. Scott in San Diego says, I've seen Holly's diploma, Robin. Fancy lettering, gold seal and all. It's a BBBS degree, too. Bombast, bluster, and bullshit. You're not wrong. Is this how you run your classes? People aren't allowed to ask questions? Why is this so hard for a wingnut to grasp? Why are they so invested? I mean, and this is not a rhetorical question. I'd really like to know. Why are they so invested in denying the existence of trans men? Gender dysphoria is real. It's been documented. It's been written about. It's part of the it's part of the literature. It is acknowledged as a thing by the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, or Association of Psychologists. There's not a debate. Unless you're Josh Hawley and you are receiving massive amounts of money from people who are just asking questions, you know, jacking off. Wait, that's Jim Shorts Jordan's nickname. Never mind. But, of course, the big news today. There was Jeremy, even as I was saying. But he's just jacking off, you know, just asking questions. Yeah. Yep, got to Lady B, too. I thought the major was a lady. Suffragette. Jet. Woo, woo. Oh, the singing alone will bring this program to its knees. SOS, says Clarence, Mr. Walker has validated and verified that CTE is a critical health issue for active and retired football players. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy treatment should be on his to-do list. Oh, I agree. Right up there with not pointing guns and knives and at one's life partner and that sort of thing. Not blathering on about, or not blathering on about children you won't acknowledge having been the sperm donor for. Ain't did nothing wrong, said Herschel. Oh, and this little digression, forgive me, please. But I woke up this morning and I turned on my filthy morning habit and bless her heart, she means well. There was a, to me, as a tree hugger, heartbreaking story. yeah, Todd, I know. Todd said, your stupid meter just broke the fuck down. Yeah, it's out. I've pulled it out of the equipment chain here, the stupid meter. It was one of those things where the needle just went all the way over and pegged, and then you saw that little crack appear in the screen. Yeah, Herschel and Josh have already destroyed the stupid meter. God damn it, we'll have to order another. You know, those things are expensive, inline stupid meters. Have I mentioned there's a $25 challenge on the table courtesy of Ralph's? Please? Thank you? But, I turned on my filthy morning habit, and Mika's heart's in the right place, but the art of knowing words is not strong with Mika. There was a story, to my mind, heartbreaking, because I am a tree hugger. See, I already said that part, and I know that. And it's about a fire in Yosemite National Park. Among the protected more than 1,000-year-old giant sequoias, as I've said before, the one time that I got to walk around among some redwoods, it was just a, it was just Muir Woods across the bay from San Francisco. I've talked about it a million times because it had a profound impact on me. It was the closest to being somewhere sacred. And I've been, you know, I've been in St. Peter's Square. I've wandered around the Vatican and whatnot. I've been in really great, big, humongous Baptist churches and the like. And if there is a God, I never felt it in any of those places. But there was a spirit of something alive among... And I had to pick a really, really tiny young redwood just to get my arms around it and give it a good hug. And it felt so good. And there was just a contemplative quiet. It was like, it must be what inspired the first cloisters. But they can't come anywhere near it. But they had a reader about a fire in Yosemite and mentioned the fact that 20% of the giant sequoias that exist that have burned in the last 2 years. And that just caused this wave of grief. And no, it's not... I'm not prioritizing trees over people or anything like that. I'm prioritizing life on planet Earth. You know, what we were talking about yesterday. The mutant planet. Over other things. While Herschel is out running around, we gotta have the pipeline!
We gotta have the pipeline. Because the dirty Indian and the dirty Chinese there, we gotta clean that up.
I think that's going to stay with me. I don't know if it's going to have the staying power of it's a series of tubes. It's not a big truck, but I was younger then and more impressionable. But I sat there watching the footage of the fire and those magnificent examples of life on this little blue-green marble hurtling in its elliptical, helical way through the universe. Oh, and those pictures of the universe from the Webb telescope, the first ones to come. Annette and I were looking at it, and she was like, look, there's a galaxy, and there's a galaxy, and there's a galaxy, and there's a galaxy. And I looked at her and said, the galaxy's on Orion's belt. And she said, yes, it is. And all from a photograph of an area of space no larger than a grain of sand. It is awe-inspiring, but all the way back here, on this suffering, aching little ball of mud, some of those giant sequoias are burning, and they're trying to, and the fire is leaping from treetop to treetop as they try to. They've got sprinklers trying to keep the ground wet, and the firefighters. And you know, I hope they're not prison slave labor. I hope they're real, honest to goodness, paid firefighters. Trying to preserve those trees. And Mika, sweet Mika, dear, darling, beloved Mika, in an attempt to sound sympathetic and relevant, said, well, I hope those trees can be salvaged. Salvaged. Does she know that? And I looked at Annette, and Annette looked at me, and we both went as if we had been cued by some offstage stage manager or what. Salvaged. Yeah, maybe we can make picnic tables out of the part that didn't burn. Salvaged. Maybe they can be put on barges and sent over to China to be, I don't know, made into toothpicks. Salvaged. Titanic. Multi-millionaire, for-profit media intellect salvaged. Yeah. As to Jet, Lee in New York says, yes, Herschel can spell it. It was a New York team he played against that played their home games in New Jersey. I thought he played for the New Jersey Generals because that's when he got to be bosom buddies with Nitwit Nero. Wasn't that the case? J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Scott in San Diego. Josh feels threatened in his nether regions. He needs to leave D.C. and head for Hollywood. I can see him as the lead in a sci-fi flick. The incredible shrinking dick man. Tinier than a Times Roman 10-point comma. Oh, well. A reference that detailed must be honored with a cowbell. Because that's tiny. A Times New Roman 10-point comma. Andy has an answer. Subject line, Missouri. Andy the Angry Jew says, I'll tell you what's in Missouri. It's racism, pure and simple, in every demo. Having been raised Jewish, primarily in the suburbs of St. Louis, it was appalling to me that the level of racism among the Jewish community, specifically against black people, it still exists today. I went to the University of Missouri and was in a primarily Jewish fraternity. The word Jewish people like to use for black people was done every day. I know what that word is. You know, Andy, it kind of makes me wonder if you were there in Columbia at the same time I was there in Fulton. We'd have to leave Fulton to go over and, you know, visit certain stores in Columbia. And there was a nice little Mexican restaurant over there. There wasn't one of those in Fulton. We had a Domino's, and that was about it. But I know the word you're talking about. Andy says, I probably took part of it, having never been raised that way, though. As I left the Midwest to the East Coast, I started to see that the way that those people were raised were wrong. Now, some 40 years later, when everybody says to be more conservative, as liberal as one can be, I maybe have one or two contacts left from college going to have not been so immersed in hate and bigotry. I communicate with a college buddy who believes like I do and tells me that a lot of my fraternity brothers still vote Republican. These are Jewish men, all very successful with plenty of dough, yet their hate, I think, will not allow them to see the truth. It's the people in Missouri you expect to vote Democratic. Don't. These are the suburban people that still think this is acceptable. I'm quite certain that they stifle their vote, as at some level they have to feel quite embarrassed. I've often felt the African-American community and the Jewish people have the most in common. I've spent my life educating myself about their plight as well as that of my people. Studied it in college, and I've always felt that our people had more in common than different. I find it very sad. This was not the state I grew up in as a child through my 20s. I feel a lot of shame for the way these people act. I know. It seemed to be in the couple of years that I was in school there. Of course, I was living in a bubble. I was on a little liberal arts college campus, but it didn't seem nearly as hateful as it is now. And it is hateful. Once you get out of St. Louis or Kansas City, You're in Maggotville for the entire width and breadth of the state along I-70. Yeah. Ron in Raleigh says, presidential timber, Josh Hawley. As the Witchfinder General says, you are like a winter tree, unprofitable, fit only to be hewn down and burned. From your mouth to God's ears, Ron. And Lady B adds, Joe knows she's stupid. That's why he's fucking her. Putting a ring on it was a mere formality. Woo! That's a little bit sexist. But, you know, I hope the trees can be salvaged. You know, the word was saved. She said, that's what she meant, saved. But she was trying to haul out a $10 word when a $1 word would have done fine. And somewhere upstairs, the suits at MSNBC were going, salvaged? Did she say salvaged? Yeah, Bill, she said salvaged. Yeah. Okie dokie then. But they're right-wing POSs anyway, so just makes our side look a little dumber. Oh, well. And then, of course, getting to the most important story of the day. I'm talking about the hearing, the J6 hearing today. Among other things, it prompted another thing, but It's really a dog bites man story every time you see a headline that says Trump melts down about. We'll get to that in time. But they did, again, what they have proven to be so very, very good at doing, namely, in a very methodical fashion, laying out point by point, issue by issue, element by element, the culpability of Nitwit Nero in the terrorist attack against the Capitol of the United States. What had Nitwit Nero in a dither today was a report out of the New York Times leaning on polling data, said that almost half of Republicans would like to see anybody but Donald Trump be the standard bearer for the GQP in 2024. And his numbers are plummeting among younger Republicans and college-educated Republicans. You know, the ones that went to Jerry Falwell, you and stuff. But Nitwit Nero read it, and of course he amplified it.
The failing New York Times is down 40% year-to-date because they are fake news. Their reporters are dishonest, and their front page has become a work of total fiction, not news. They hate our country, and they hate reporting the truth, which is why America is not respected and has never been weaker. Instead, they obsessed over January 6th, just like they did over impeachment hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, the Mueller witch hunt, and Russia, Russia, Russia. The New York Times will continue to decline because people no longer believe their reporting is even close to being true.
And this is all because Maggie Haberman tweeted Trump is just below 50% in the New York Times Siena poll. And to be fair, this is the same poll that found that something like 3 out of 4 Democrats would like to nominate somebody besides Joe Biden to run for president in 2024. That's not hopeful either. Neither is it helpful. But hey, look at 1980. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, well. 2024 is going to be, as they say, hell among the yearlings. But again, thank you, New York Times, for stoking the stroke. But the hearing today was interesting, to say the least, because, among other things, they played clips of their interview with Pat Cipollone last Friday, who didn't leave Nitwit Nero much in the way of wiggle room, and his relationship with the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys became more and more clear, and Americans watching the hearings who had never before heard the vocal stylings of Alex Jones got to hear him bellowing into a microphone on the night of January 5th. That must have been revelatory. Jamie Raskin, Democrat, Maryland, who is also probably the single most well-read constitutional scholar right now in the entire Congress, said all of these efforts would converge and explode on January 6th. The various calls and the courting of these violent terrorists. And they nailed, hammered, time after time after time after time, the December 2020 tweet from Nitwit Nero when he said it was
statistically impossible to have lost the 2020 election. Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. We'll be wild.
He knew what he was calling for. He had long since been engaged in a seditious conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States of America. You know, I really wish I understood why it is we're having a conversation about whether he should be indicted versus a conversation about whether he should be put in prison for life or receive some other penalty appropriate to treason. Oh, okay, so you were there a little bit before me. Andy the Angry Jew says, every time you say you're so old, I cringe, LOL. I went to Mizzou 1974 to 1978, makes me 66, so I'm ancient. Nah, you're not ancient. Anybody who writes with the vigor you bring to your to the conversation, Andy is not ancient. Fact of the matter is, one of the weird things, I feel half my age. Vitamin C really is the fountain of youth for people like me. But the J6 committee. And I had not heard much from Representative Stephanie Murphy from Florida. She did a fantastic job today. She described that aforementioned tweet as a call to action and in some cases a call to arms for many of President Trump's most loyal supporters. And after that tweet, that's when the planning really ramped up for what would become the putsch against the government of the United States on January the 6th. And when Nitwit Nero said,
it'll be wild.
Now that's when Allie Alexander registered the website wildprotest.com. And that's where they organized a great deal of the putsch, at least the public aspects of it. And, of course, Alex Jones got behind it and pushed it for all he was worth. And another ass, Jim Watkins, who ran something called 8kun, K-U-N, and that's the home of the cue ball conspiracy, said that it was Trump's December tweet that made him decide to go to D.C. They played a clip from someone referring to themselves as Salty Cracker. No, really. Who, using a reference to the then popular Game of Thrones, said, there's going to be a red wedding going down January 6th. And for those who don't know, Red Wedding is coded language for a massacre. The Red Wedding in Game of Thrones. And they even got hold of tweets that Nitwit Nero didn't send. They had a draft of one.
I will be making a big speech.
Capital B, capital S, of course.
At 10 a.m. on January 6th at the Ellipse, south of the White House, please arrive early. Massive crowds expected. March to the Capitol after. Stop the steal!
And it was stamped, President has seen. But somehow or another, it didn't get sent. And, The plannings were, there was a lot of crap going on behind the scenes. Kylie Jane Creamer was a rally organizer, and she sent a message to Mike Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell saying that Nitwit Nero would spring a surprise by unexpectedly telling the maggots to march to another stage that was outside the Supreme Court building behind the Capitol. Creamer said, "It can also not get out about the march because I will be in trouble with the National Park Service and all the agencies, but POTUS is going to just call for it." Dick finger quotes, "unexpectedly," nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And January the 2nd, Katrina Pearson, remember her? She's the one that wore the bullet necklace for the longest time, said, "POTUS expectations are to have something intimate at the Ellipse and call on everyone to march to the Capitol." January 5th, the message went out, "Tomorrow, Ellipse, then U.S. Capitol. Trump is supposed to order us to Capitol at the end of his speech, but we'll see." They focused on the quote-unquote wild meeting of December the 21st. And among other things, probably one of the biggest bombshells of the day came when they named names. They actually said the names of 10 insurrectionist maggots, members of Congress, who were up to their eyeballs in the putsch. All 10 of these were implicated today in the hearing. Representative Stephanie Murphy of Florida discussed it. "Another part of the president's strategy involves certain members of Congress who amplified his unsupported assertions that the election had been stolen. In the weeks after the election, the White House coordinated closely with President Trump's allies in Congress to disseminate his false claims and to encourage members of the public to fight the outcome on January the 6th. We know that the president met with various members to discuss January 6th well before the joint session. The president's private schedule for December 21st, 2020 shows a private meeting with Republican members of Congress. We know Vice President Pence, Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and Rudy Giuliani also attended the meeting." So at this point in time, Pence is still on the conspiracy. She added, "At this point," and I wonder if any assholes were puckering at this point, "at this point, you may recall to..." I don't really want to think that much about that, but it's just a turn of phrase. "At this point, you may recall testimony given in our earlier hearing by Richard Donahue, who said that the president asked the Department of Justice to say that the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the Republican congressmen. According to White House visitor logs obtained by the committee, members of Congress present at the White House on December 21st included Congressman Brian Babin, Repiglican, Texas. Andy Biggs, Repiglican, Arizona. Matt Gaetz, Repiglican, Florida. Louis Gohmert, Repiglican, Texas. Paul Gosar, Repiglican, Arizona. Andy Harris, Repiglican, Maryland. Jody Heiss, Repiglican, Georgia. Jim Jacketoff Jordan, Repiglican of Ohio. And Scott Perry, Repiglican of Pennsylvania." Because they were actual members of Congress at that point. But then, as if to countersink the nail, she said, "And Congresswoman-elect Marjorie Taylor Greene, Repiglican of Georgia, was also there." And therein is the list of the conspirators. Those, they're each and every one of them supporters of the American Cataline. How long, Cataline, must we put up with your shit? Marcus Tullius Cicero asked, oh so long ago. There they are. And I guess Merrick Garland's just kind of sitting around. I don't know. He's probably playing. I mean, for all we know, the Department of Justice runs computers on, you know, Microsoft Windows for warehouses. Probably just sitting around playing Minesweeper. Wondering if he's ever going to do anything. Thumb twiddling. That's a big thing, apparently, with Merrick Garland. Then again, the Department of Justice has had information probably sufficient to indict Matt Gaetz for paying for sex with underage girls. Oh, well. Nothing has happened yet, and he's running around saying, "See, I didn't do nothing." But those are the conspirators. You know, a woman who was hanged in the aftermath of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln actually had less to do with the conspiracy to kill Lincoln than any of those 10 committee members or Congress members had to run a putsch that would overthrow the government of the United States. Her room, what she happened, she had a rooming house in D.C. And she happened to rent rooms to people who went on to be part of the Lincoln assassination conspiracy. And they hanged her for letting those rooms. Maybe somebody should point that out to Merrick Garland. I really don't know. I don't. So that's the filler obster. Repeat the conspirators' names again, please. Okay. Let's see. Why don't we let Representative Murphy do it herself? Well, no, that takes just too long. White House visitor logs obtained by the committee show that the members of Congress, the Republican members of Congress, present at the White House on December 21st to plot the overthrow of the government of the United States were Brian Babin of Texas, Andy Biggs of Arizona, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Louis Gohmert of Texas, Paul Gosar of Arizona, Andy Harris of Maryland, Jody Heiss of Georgia, Jim Jordan of Ohio, and Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, with not yet sworn in Marjorie Taylor Greene present as well. Now, I think we should be careful lest we fall into the trap of thinking that maybe this is all that was... No. These are all members of the House because the proceedings were going to take place in the House, and that's where the beginning of the coup was to unfold. There were more conspirators, and I'm willing to bet that there will be a further announcement in the hearings at some point of the members of the United States Senate who were in on it. People like Tommy the Tuber, Ron Johnson, constitutional scholar Mike Lee, the aforementioned Josh Hawley, who is still confused about what is a lawman, and Texas Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and I forget who, what was her name, Debbie Lesko, member of the House, Republican, who said, "Y'all, there's going to be a bunch of crazy Trump supporters up here, and when things don't go their way, they're going to go nuts. Y'all got any plans for that?" And, of course, she'd been a Trump bootlicker. And the next hearing should be a doozy. This one was interesting enough. But the way that they're presenting the information is such that you have to think that this is building toward a crescendo. But the Senate has its fair share of conspiratorial seditionists. And by the way, if you want to look up the history of Mary Surratt, it was Mary Surratt's boarding house in Washington, D.C. She was from a place called Clinton, Maryland. Probably a Southern sympathizer. Was a Southern sympathizer. But she did less, she had less involvement in the conspiracy to kill Abraham Lincoln than any of these members of Congress had to do with this open, seditious conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. And they hanged her. Not saying. Just saying. A couple of emails before we go to the phones. Draft tweet. Suman in Arizona asks, why does anyone need a draft tweet for 22 characters or whatever is the length for tweets now? Geezer disgust us not only has tiny hands, but also tiny brains as well. Suman shoots and scores. You'll have to tell me what the cricket term for shoots and scores is, Suman. But the fact that the presidency is supposed to be set up in such a way that every utterance is recorded at some point somehow. And that's one of the ones that was. Waiting for the Dems, Matt in San Francisco says, favorite quote of the day, he's a 76-year-old man, not some impressionable child. I wish our Democrats spoke like a Cheney. I wish we had somebody that was as mean as a Cheney, only working for the good side. Because she was not mincing words, and she made a statement. And again, brought the receipts and showed that she is, well, Ron and Raleigh, I think she's the witch finder general at this point, don't you?
Gentlelady yields back. Without objection, the chair recognizes the gentlewoman from Wyoming, Ms. Cheney, for a closing statement.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, let me put what you have seen today in a broader context. At the very outset of our hearings, we described several elements of President Trump's multi-part plan to overturn the 2020 election. Our hearings have now covered all but one of those elements, an organized campaign to persuade millions of Americans of a falsehood that the 2020 election was stolen by widespread fraud, a corrupt effort to pressure Vice President Pence to refuse to count electoral votes, an effort to corrupt the U.S. Department of Justice, efforts to pressure state election officials and legislators to change state election results, a scheme to create and submit fake electoral slates for multiple states. And today, you saw how President Trump summoned a mob to Washington for January 6th, and then, knowing that that mob was armed, directed that mob to the United States Capitol. Every one of these elements of the planning for January 6th is an independently serious matter. They were all ultimately focused on overturning the election, and they all have one other thing in common. Donald Trump participated in each substantially and personally. He oversaw or directed the activity of those involved. Next week, we will return to January 6th itself. As we have shown in prior hearings, Donald Trump and his legal team, led by Rudy Giuliani, were working on January 6th to delay or halt Congress's counting of electoral votes. The mob attacking and invading the Capitol on that afternoon of January 6th was achieving that result. And for multiple hours, Donald Trump refused to intervene to stop it. He would not instruct the mob to leave or condemn the violence. He would not order them to evacuate the Capitol and disperse. The many pleas for help from Congress did no good. His staff insisted that President Trump call off the attack. He would not. Here are a few of the many things you will hear next week from Mr. Cipollone.
Was it necessary for you to continue to push for a statement directing people to leave all the way through that period of time until it was ultimately issued after 4?
I felt it was my obligation to continue to push for that, and others felt it was their obligation as well.
Would it have been possible at any moment for the president to walk down to the podium in the briefing room and talk to the nation at any time between when you first gave him that advice at 2 o'clock and 4:17 when the video statement went out? Would that have been possible?
Would it have been possible?
Yes.
Yes, it would have been possible.
And you will hear that Donald Trump never picked up the phone that day to order his administration to help. This is not ambiguous. He did not call the military. His Secretary of Defense received no order. He did not call his Attorney General. He did not talk to the Department of Homeland Security. Mike Pence did all of those things. Donald Trump did not. We will walk through the events of January 6th next week, minute by minute. And one more item. After our last hearing, President Trump tried to call a witness in our investigation, a witness you have not yet seen in these hearings. That person declined to answer or respond to President Trump's call and instead alerted their lawyer to the call. Their lawyer alerted us, and this committee has supplied that information to the Department of Justice. Let me say one more time, we will take any effort to influence witness testimony very seriously. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Oh, God. Get that. I mean, that was Columbo-esque, wasn't it? Just one more thing before. Just one more question. Just one more. Tried to shake down a witness. Stoke the stroke, Liz. Stoke the stroke. That's all I can say. You know, more and more. We've already had one Cheney be president of the United States from 2001 to 2009. He murdered something on the order of 1 million innocent Iraqis. So the idea of having another Cheney presidency does not bode well, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm more and more thinking, because I saw that list earlier today of, you know, who do Republicans want to see run for president in 2024? And like 51% works out to not Trump. And instead you see names like Nimrata Haley. Oh, Jesus, thanks for that. And the biggest number was for Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. There were other numbers along the way. Did they not even ask whether anybody would be, any Republicans would support Liz Cheney? Because I kind of would like to see her on that Republican pageant stage in 2024. Just mowing down Republican wannabes. Little aspirants to the maggot throne. Because you get the idea she could definitely do it, don't you? I'm pretty sure she could. Huh, okay. Thank you, Suman. The term we will now use when you... You come up with a good one. Disgustus not only has tiny hands, but also tiny brains as well, Suman said. We will call that plumb mid-wicket. This is when the ball obliterates the middle stump, leaving the batsman no option but to take the long walk back to the dressing room. I like it. Plumb mid-wicket.
I'm going to jot that down. Thank you, Suman. We haven't heard from Todd in forever and ever and ever. Let's go check in with him. Hey, Todd, how are you? You better still be there. Todd?
Hello?
There you are. Good, good, good.
How are you doing?
I'm here.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, come on.
Can't hear me.
Wait a minute.
Hello? I don't hear you, but apparently there's a radio on in the nether regions of this house. So maybe I should call right back, because I'm not hearing you, but I hear you. I can tell.
Okay, I miss it.
So let me call you right back. Unless you want to flip some buttons.
I'm button free. Call right back. Well, that was interesting. Once more. Yo, Todd.
I'm here.
Okay, good. It works.
It works, Eureka. How are you doing, Rob?
Urethra, I have found it. I'm good. There's a certain amount of truth in that. More important than me, it's been a while, so how are you?
Oh, God, I'm a different person. My shit's all fucked up. I'm a different person. I've gone through so much shit in the past, like, 3 weeks. This what happens when you get old. You gotta bury people and handle real stuff. You can't just be floating through life. You got to handle some business.
Well, I don't want you to tell anything you don't want to tell. I mean, have you had a loss in your family?
Yeah, and I'll leave it there. And but it's okay because it's a learning experience. And I mean, it was like bittersweet because I was able to see my better half for an extended period of time, and it has made me reevaluate things. And I sent you some pictures of us because, honest to God, man, life is short. And you got to be with who you got to be, do what makes you happy and be with who makes you happy and support, you know, your friends and loved ones. Because life is, we're here for a minute. We're not really here that long. We're really not, you know, and,
you stand in line for a long time and then the ride ain't very long at all.
Yeah. That's the e-ticket. That's right. It's like you see the build-up, like, oh, it's going to be, And then you get that thrill, and it's like, oh, shit, it's over. By the time you figure the rules out, well, you punch the ticket, buddy. That's that. And it's the cruel trick. That's what the old people always said, and they were right. They said in different ways, same way, whatever. But, Robin, you're on fire. And you know, was that Liz Cheney? Was that from today?
Yeah.
That shit was fucking, that's like some movie shit, man. That sounds like House of Cards shit. I mean, that's serious. The way she said that shit, there's about to be some heavy shit about to happen, man.
I know he's very, very left, but I'm about at the point where I think that maybe Adam Sorkin's right in her statements.
Well, I've made most of these hearings, and if not, you can always go to C-SPAN, and they have the whole thing right there. You can listen to it anytime you want or watch it. But it's been very put together in a sober and deliberate fashion. And of course, I'm biased, and you're biased. But honestly,
I'm only biased by virtue of my interest in actual facts. That's my bias.
Okay. And see, but that's because you know how to take your bias. You've been trained to take your biases out of things. Exactly. Right.
I mean, I don't want Nitwit Nero charged with anything he didn't do. I would not have supported his two impeachments were they not based upon things that were lead pipe cinches. Everybody, you know, all those senators who crapped all over their oaths and exonerated him, acquitted him, did so knowing that he was guilty as shit. I mean, you remember the ones, Todd, who said, "Well, I'm going to vote to acquit because I don't think what he done rises to the level of a crime." Baby, that's been taken out of your hands. The House of Representatives made that determination. You either are, your only job is to say he done it or he didn't done it. And if you say he done it, but I don't think it's a crime, you're crapping on your oath.
Okay.
I mean, everybody with two functioning brain cells to rub together knows that he should have been convicted on both counts. There should not be a conversation taking place in this country right now, Todd, as to whether or not he's going to run for president in 2024, because he should have been forever barred from holding public office. Sorry. Ranting.
Of course. No, you're not ranting, and don't be sorry. I mean, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. And unfortunately, we have what appears to be a statistically significant portion of America, 33, 34, 35, 40%, who knows, somewhere in there that they just, because they want what they want. They're not, they don't get it. They just want what they want. You know, they say, he says, well, you know, and I'm not trying to rehash all that because it's very sad. But this is why I don't want to rehash it, because, you know, at the end of the day, what it does, it tells more about who we are collectively. You see, because why did he get 70 million votes? He shouldn't have gotten 7 votes.
Right. He should have been treated like the unserious person that he is.
Unserious and mentally
unfit
person. Unfucking fit. I mean, what else do you need? It's not just us talking about, well, I don't think he's stable there. You know, listen to the professionals. They've already stated, I mean, my God, what the fuck? Just because he says what you like, you stupid people. And I'm calling you stupid. Not
yeah,
you,
but that's the transactional nature of the Republican Party. It doesn't matter what kind of moral monster their candidate is, as long as he's going to deliver the goods, they don't give a shit. It is transactional. It's, you know, I mean, it's the pasty-faced, doughy, old, creepy Republican sitting there at the stage in the strip joint, and the beautiful young woman dancing before him, looking at him like, oh, baby. And it's transactional, so he's like,
oh, she wants me, man.
No, she doesn't.
No, she wants your money.
She's working a job. She's not that into you. And by the way, I ran across this, and I'm going to hang on to it. I saw a meme that said, for all you Republican men who keep asking, what is a woman? Well, when you ask that question, it's a sign to the rest of us not to have anything to do with you.
Stop talking about you're a defective human being. Why would you even ask dumbass shit like that? What the fuck is wrong with you? You know, these people don't even understand how fucking ridiculous they appear.
And I just know that as a majority witness in that committee, the Professor Bridges, I think, was chosen with most deliberate care, because they knew that she would be able to take a Josh Hawley and fold him up into fold him up into a paper airplane and fly him all the way around the world, and him not know he'd even left his chair.
Yeah, not much doing.
Because what she said was true. What she said was true. All these people who deny the existence of trans men, they put their lives at risk. They make it easier to beat them to death, to kill them. and they don't give a shit.
And I can almost guarantee you, these same, remember, they engage in projection. So, you know, he's up to, you know, he is a hypocrite. I bet you. Just like Matt, I mean, all these people, they're like that. Many of them, not all, maybe many of them. You know, they are doing exactly what they accuse other people of living after their life, and they're just, you know, closeted. I mean, how many years does that go back? You know, PTL, and, you know, it's just, these people are ridiculous. They're, don't let people live their lives. That's not their business. Number one, it's not their fucking business. If either they don't like it, they don't have to worry about it. It ain't you.
Die mad about it.
Okay, well, right, okay. And now what? Just stay mad. You better fucking come right, man. Life is short. Don't be wasting time and energy on some bullshit that doesn't even fucking involve you. And the sooner people fucking wake up, and I'm serious, man, we'd all be better off. People just mind their fucking business and understand that this is a truncated existence we have. Look how fast time is moving now. Do you understand? We're almost in August already.
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
The summer's, I'm, you know how it is with my mind and my DJ brain. I've already got that line from Don Henley. Feel it in the air, summer's out of reach. Quit singing. We're in so much trouble, but you know, we've got $15 to go on Ralph's challenge. Thank you. Thank you so much to Scott in San Diego. If $15 more come in, we'll be down to $10.50. And the bills I'm looking at that are past due and scary, here we are. But thank you, Scott. Hopefully, we managed not to lay a goose egg yesterday, and now we don't have a goose egg now. Thank you, Scott. But no, summer's half gone. My favorite part of summer's gone. You know, the part that leads up to the summer solstice. Now the days, I know we don't think about it. Right. The days are getting shorter.
See, I know you, and you're thinking about your dad. I know you are.
Yeah, I am.
See, I know. I mean, it's what it is. It's all weird.
I'm thinking about my tan. Thinking about my burn. I'm thinking about my peel. That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Oh, God. You headed out to the lake on the path.
Oh, if only. At least I'm thinking about it, though.
Well, I want to say hello to the referee in Raleigh that goes by the name of Ron. Ron the referee. And Jude, of course. And our friend in California, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, I hadn't been able to really listen. I was just, you know, I was doing other things.
Well, like, I mean, let me ask. I mean, we talked as you were heading up there. Are you back? Are you back in South Carolina, Stan? Now.
I am. I'm back. And I'm going to tell you this, man. My neighborhood, you have to search for litter. There is zero litter. And you can leave your door open. And where I live, like where my house is up there, no litter. Zero. And ain't no, and you, like literally, you have, there's no litter. Even when the wind blows, there's no litter. So I had to make some decisions here, man. I got to really think. I got to think some things through. I got some life-changing decisions to make. And I'm just being honest, man. This is like, I learned a whole lot.
Well, you said, I know what your circumstances are, and you say you've got some decisions to make. They are, I mean, they're big life decisions. Do you feel like you've got any clarity on them, or are you leaning one way or the other?
Well, right now I'm waiting in the legal sense. I'm waiting for things to spin out. But in the meantime, I think I'm just going to take the money and run. Because I stand, you know, if things work out, I stand, you know, it's crazy, man. It, you know. But people were knocking on the door like with bags of money, like, hey, I'm like, what? I don't even know you, man. Get away from me. You know, so anyway, I'm glad I'm can focus and let everything spin out. And you know, things will work out or they won't, but they're gonna work out. And I'm gonna take care of my friends and my family. And that's what I want to do. It was a whole lot going on. But you know, I was listening to what you were saying this evening, back to like the current events. You know, some people don't know that Louis Gohmert studied in Russia. He spent some time there as a student.
What? I thought I knew all there was to know about Louis Asparagus Gohmert, but you just dropped a new one.
Well, yeah, I'm absolutely positive of that, and you know, and I'm sure Ron. You know, Ron is not going to sleep on this. You know, Ron. I love Ron to death. Ron is going to be on it. Yeah, and see, so now we're seeing. You know, I mean, like I go back to the Americans. That's based on a real. You know, things shit is happening. Just because you think shit ain't happening doesn't mean it's not happening. Why are all these people so sympathetic to Russia? See, remember last year, a year and a half ago, we fleshed all this shit out. We're like, wait a minute. How did they know to do this and do that? Who's conspiring? You know, we talked about this on your program. And you just ran off the list, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, there's some things we have to think about. We don't know how deep Russian influence is into our government. Because, I mean, we got the dumbasses like Marjorie Taylor and this jackass that some white people like because he smiles and he runs and catches balls and stuff and he's dumb as hell. And you know where he's from? He's from Brunswick.
I didn't know. Is he? I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, and I've been to Brunswick many times, and it's a sleepy. It's humid there like fucking all the time. Herschel Walker, yes, and yeah, that's just a fact. You know, I deal with facts, but yeah, so you know, but you know what? I think these people have overreached because I actually met someone today. I was out, you know, just trying to get some air in the park. And this woman approached me because I had on the hearings. She said, what are you listening to? I said, oh, I'm just listening to the hearings. And she started opening up. And this woman appeared to be Caucasian to me. And, you know, I just let her talk. Until I said something. But I think, because I didn't want to, you know, her to know how I felt about things. I just wanted to hear what she had to say since she approached me. And, you know, it's just decent people and people with common sense. It's like, we had enough. This isn't fucking enough. It's quite enough. You know, he torn apart the country and it's still not over. And
well, that was one of the, did you catch the hearing today?
Some of it.
The witnesses, they had a couple of insurrectionists on. And one of them was fairly well spoken. And
the redheaded Ayers. I heard some of him.
Well, the other guy who showed up in his jean jacket with his buttons on and whatever, I mean, I don't know if he's going for street cred or what. I'm critiquing fashion now. But he said, you know, if this thing had succeeded, we would be in a full blown civil war now.
See?
And of course, he has since repented. He said, you know, I stayed in the Proud Boys too long. I knew I needed to get out, and I didn't get out. but I'm out now, and I'm here to tell you Stuart Rhodes is an insurrectionist. Stuart Rhodes is the leader of a white nationalist militia.
Wait a minute, Robin. Well, that, he's saying that he knows that they had a deeper plan. That's fucked up.
Well, among other things, they were talking today about the fact that there were, you know, in addition to caches of weapons, grenades, things like that, stashed around D.C., they also had, apparently, I'm not sure how many they had it for, but they had food stores for up to 30 days.
Uh-oh. What were they planning on doing?
I mean, this was a full-blown conspiracy to overthrow the government. This was a putsch. This was a terrorist. It was a putsch that was based upon a terrorist attack, Todd. And so many of our fellow Americans are just wandering around going, goddamn gasoline prices, some bitch. Let's go, Brandon. Every day when I leave here to, you know, go up to the Wiggling Pig or whatever, I drive past that same yard with the sign, fuck Joe Biden. What's he done to you, dipshit? Nothing. He just tunes in to Testicle Toast and Tucky O'Rose Carlson. I mean, it is time for a house cleaning. Is it not?
This is what, see, and I'm glad, and you guided me back, because you know I'm tangent, man, and it was just so many things that you touched on, and I hadn't really been able to listen to you for a while, and, but, you see, this is the quandary, and we actually have talked about this, and I think this is why the thumb twiddler is twiddling his thumbs. Now, if we remember, a certain former president was always talking about shithole countries, you know, and what he meant was like countries that are run by blacks, when darker skinned people with khaki suits and houppelettes. However, it's quite interesting. He's fallen right into that projection category, because that is exactly what he turned his country into, a shithole country, which where elections are disputed. I mean, how do people not even fucking see that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I do. I mean, how much more shithole do you have to get than to be a state, Alabama, Texas, that hates certain marginalized people more than does Iran?
Yeah. Why are they going out of their way? They're going out of their way to be nasty and mean to human beings, with taxpayers. It doesn't matter. This is America, man. Did they not learn from Rome? Rome was tolerant. And it worked for them. That's how they were so successful for thousands of years, 2,500 years, or whatever, you know. Don't quote me on that. But that, you know, a nice long run, because they let people pray the way they wanted to pray and live the way they wanted to live, as long as they paid taxes. When they took the land, you know, and everybody was happy. Leave people the fuck alone.
I mean, I keep coming back to this story from yesterday about the possible floating abortion clinic in the Gulf of Mexico.
And why do we have to even talk about that shit?
Right. Yeah. Up. No. But we do, because that's where Brat and Neil with a K and another K and Slappy and Sammy Bad Breath and the Handmaid put us. We have to talk about these things because the lives of people who can get pregnant matter.
I'm really sorry you brought that up, because honestly, and I'm not a woman, but I've lived a life, but what I do not understand, how these people are just damn evil. How is it?
They're vicious. Okay.
We're in the dum-dum. We're just dum-dums, man. I mean, it's like, birth control pills. It's like, you know, some people have to take birth control pills because they're heavy bleeders. And that's the only thing that, I mean, not the only, but that is the prescription.
endometriosis, I believe it's called. And
yeah, and PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Right. So we have that. Then it's like, oh, well, if your daddy raped you and you're 10 years old, you know what? You need to keep that baby.
Oh, and by the way, the latest on that, Todd, the latest on that?
What the fuck, man?
The latest on the 10-year-old is that Republicans have decided she doesn't really exist. Because her identity is being protected so that Republicans... her identity is being protected so that Republicans will not torment her to death or try to kidnap her and force her to have the baby. So they know, well, she's not really real.
So they're terrorists again.
Yes. And they are driven by a fetish for fetuses. I mean, this opens up such a can of worms. I wonder how Brat. Well, you know, I don't want to go through the litany again.
They,
you know, just
lie.
I wonder how our majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties feel about the idea of, hey, here's an idea. Let's say a person who can become pregnant becomes pregnant. And let's say that person takes out $1 million life insurance policy on her blastocyst. And let's say somewhere down the way, before 9 months are up, let's say that person's pregnancy ends as 50% of all human pregnancies end in spontaneous abortion.
Yep. Didn't work.
And then the beneficiary of the policy looks at the insurance company and says, no, pay me.
See, they didn't think this shit through. And I don't know where I was listening. That is brilliant. But you see, we've talked about it. Like, all right, if that's how you feel, you people, you know what I'm talking about, you people, then why is your birthday not, you know, tag, why don't you have another 9 months tagged onto your birthday? If you're serious about this shit, they're like, oh, that's just silly. We can't talk about it. No, we can't talk about it.
No, we can talk about it because they say from the point of fertilization, it's a human being, an American citizen.
Robin, that's brilliant. That's your legal fucking mind working, man.
So,
see, and this is coming up. People are talking about this shit. It's like, okay, because it was on NPR. It's like, okay, it's like slaves, you know, who got freed. And it's like, okay, so now what? You know, did you anticipate this? You know, we had to codify some certain things here. Now, if this is how you feel, we got to codify this shit. Isn't that right?
Damn Skippy.
See? And it ain't no fucking peanut butter either, bitch. No.
Here's another one. So, let's say... just to make things simple, she pees on the little stick. Stick turns the right color. Oh, well, her next stop is the family court, where she gets an order of child support from the putative father, and he needs to start writing a check every month for a substantial amount of his earnings in child support.
Just like that.
Boom, done.
If in fact this is the right, that this is, because it's just logical. You got to take all the stuff to logical conclusion. If this is how we're going to roll, then this is how we have to roll.
Well, we didn't want to roll this way. 80% of the American people did not want to roll this way, but our majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties, doing the bidding of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, said we got to roll that way.
Well, guess what? Guess what, Robin? Missy? We listen, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. No.
I haven't been missied in a while.
All right, that's right. We it's time for us. We got to. It ain't packed. They already packed the court. They're already activist judges. They see projection. They've done everything. They do. Oh, we don't need those activists. That's what they did. We didn't make this shit fucked up. They made it fucked up. So now we got to have more justice. Ain't no way around that shit. Fuck them. That's
yeah, Republicans run around saying, ooh, Democrats want to pack the court. No, son, we want to unpack the court.
Unpack. Those fuckers lied. All those three motherfuckers lied to Clarence Thomas's little foot fucking monkey. Fuck him.
And again, I guess we just don't... while you were gone, I had the story. Every Republican member of the House has already signed off on this national abortion ban bill that's in the House. And it's like bill number 2,800 and something. So that means there were 2,800 and something bills filed before this one was filed.
That's what I was about.
Okay,
I
so I don't want to hear about not cluttering up the clerk or the you know, bullshit. I come back to it. Where is the
job,
bill?
Right?
Darlene kind of got after me last night and said, why has it got to be AOC? And I said, because she was the one running around talking about we need to be talking about impeaching him. But okay, so it's not AOC. What if it's Barbara Lee from Texas? Hell, what if it's the same guy, Representative Green from Texas, who filed the original bills of impeachment against Nitwit Nero?
Oh, people hated him for that. Al Green.
Yeah, Al Green, right. Not Reverend, not Reverend Al Green of Memphis.
No. But I believe he is a man of the cloth, if I remember correctly. But Representative Al Green from Texas. He's got slick black hair.
I want to see some shit filed.
Are you cursing again?
Yeah, I did. I will wash my, after the program, Todd, I will wash my mouth out with some Kirk's Castile soap. Because I know we're both fans.
Oh, God.
It's good soap. It doesn't dry you out like Ivory does.
I hope you got some Kirk's.
Yeah, I do. I got like 6 bars of Kirk's Castile soap.
With aloe?
No, I got the OG.
The OG, the regular. Okay. No, I'm glad you did though, because you know how years ago I kept talking about the Kirk's, right? And I keep it because it's a big latte. They're the only ones who sell it. But like it does, like it gets.
Wait, did you just say big latte?
Of course,
yes. It's like Sears is gone, but Jacques Pinet remains.
Big latte. That's the place to be for certain things. I mean, they're the only place that carries this soap. I mean, what can I do? You know, you got to go with Big Latte for certain things. That's just the way it is. But
we just got cowbells. Billable Rick just afforded us dual cowbells. Robin, damn Skippy, Todd, and it ain't peanut butter, referring to a blastocyst, not peanut butter. So. First night back and you get cowbelled.
That's a beautiful thing. And before, yeah, I'm glad you stopped me because now I got a little listener as I was listening to you. So, you know, first of all, well, I don't know if I want to talk about Mika right now, but I will. Because I did, in fact, I'm not done yet. I'm still not done with this morning. And they're pissed off because they got to work longer hours. They, you know, they're out there, you can see it in their fucking face. They got so used to working fucking 2 hours in the morning. And they're like, oh God, I got to work another hour, 2 hours. Oh. Fuck me. But anyway, they probably donate, so that's okay. But Mika is a burnout, in fact. You know, why was she struggling? I mean, how do you struggle? She came. I was a reporter.
I hope they can salvage those trees.
That, you know, come on, man.
Did you hear it? Did you hear it?
God damn! I was like, it was so sophomorish. Like, man, come on, you can do better than that. You really can do better than that. Not you. She can do better than that.
I would hope.
I mean, I just thought, I just started thinking of all the things you could make out of a burnt, dead, 2,000-year-old giant sequoia.
See, you and I, that's what I'm saying. You and I are on the
same patio thing. Furniture.
Look, man, that's like when the Taliban blew up the.
I mean, if you made like a picnic table out of it, you could make it like an artisanal picnic table, and you could put little labels on it like, "Hey, see this stripe in the grain right here? That's the birth of Jesus."
Right.
That's how old this picnic table is.
That's what I'm saying. We're just like that's some sick. It doesn't matter what your religion is, what kind of. At some point, human beings have to. Shit, that old, nobody owned, you have to take care of that. You have to, just like that edifice over there that the Taliban blew up. That was some fucked up
shit. Bamiyan Buddhas. Well, yeah, and then also while you were gone, you know, they got the Georgia Guidestones. They weren't 1,000 years old or anything, but...
What do you mean they got the Georgia Guidestones? What do you mean?
You didn't know?
It's gone?
It's gone.
Oh. Somebody stole it?
No, somebody snuck in and blew it up. At 4 o'clock in the morning on like a Wednesday.
Man.
They blew up one of the 42-ton stones, and then the people who had said say so over it said, "Well, it's probably unstable now, so we just need to bulldoze the whole thing."
Oh my God! You know who probably went off on that? Because I don't listen to many. You know, I bet Alan had something to say about that.
Oh well, sure, and you know every other cue ball, wingnut, whatever. But in my mind, I just had this little flash. You remember Star Trek: The Journey Home?
Yeah.
Where Earth was fucked because we were fresh out of whales, and the whales were the actual sentient beings on the planet.
Yep.
So they had to go back in time and steal a whale and transport it into the future, and so that it could tell the V'ger or whatever it was not to eliminate life on Earth.
Yep.
Well, you know, that Georgia Guidestones thing is like... There's just something inside me that says, you know, the multi-limbed amorphous aliens from Norblap 9 are going to show up and go, "Hey, where's the Guidestones? What'd you fuckers do with the Guidestones? Huh?
That was some bullshit.
Where's the goddamn Guidestones, you motherfuckers?"
Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is that this one of these people, like, you know how they love to talk about false flags. So that was one of them that blew
up. And you know, then when we got no answer for where's the Guidestones, they go, "Well, you leave us no choice. We're just gonna zap you with the Elodium Q-38 exploding space modulator. Y'all thought that was just a cartoon, didn't you?"
"We warned you." Yeah. Yup. Let's see how that shit works. Oh, God, man. Too many people in their fucking basements.
Did you just say too many people in their fucking basements?
Yeah, I did.
"Hey, Mom, can you bring me a grilled cheese and some tomato soup and a glass of milk? I got a big blog post going about the Georgia Guidestones and the Q and what Q said about them." "Yeah, all right, dear."
"That's not funny, man. That's true."
"Well, yeah, it is. I mean, who do you think's creating all this chaos on 4chan?" "Oh God, I found it. I know you wander around Reddit once in a while, don't you?" Maybe I was wrong. But I ran across. I ran across a new one last night that just wow.
You're cracking me up, man.
I ran across a subreddit called "Not How Girls Work."
"Not How Girls
Work." "Not How Girls Work." And people are out there trolling around on these incel forums and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
First one I saw was it's a meme some woman put up. Yeah. "So I told my boyfriend I was having my period, and he said, 'Again? You know what? You're right. I'm going to cancel that monthly subscription.'" Yeah. I mean, these dudes in their basements. are dangerously stupid. Like, for instance, you must not hang around with women very often. The average female has sex with 1 to 3 completely new men per week. You think she gives a fuck what anyone thinks when she gets butt naked with strangers 3 times a week? And somebody responded and said, a wild incel appears.
You know, this shit, I think this shit started, honest to God, baby, we're around the same age. Yeah. You remember when the folks came out against disco, they couldn't stand, they had that burning of the Recluse of Michigan in Detroit. And because they ain't like, a lot of the people don't like disco because they couldn't dance. And they ain't like the fact that people were getting along, and they were just like, people were just living their lives. You know? And all women, all people would ask you to do was try to dance. Because it was men and women, and it was a lot of gay folks in there. Like, I always had gay friends. I don't give a fuck, you know? Gay, what am I, you know, you gay, so what? You know? In fact, man, look.
Well, I mean, the more I get into this fever swamp of just doing the anthropology of observing the incels, it's like, holy shit. You know, because already, you know, they're running around slaughtering people. I haven't followed up on that story from upstate New York, but I'm still convinced that that dude was an incel, just randomly killed a woman. I mean, they put this stuff out there, ironically. They're not joking. They actually think this stuff. Menstruation is called period because back in the day when women's bodies weren't as polluted, all it was a tiny dot.
What? Oh, this is why these motherfuckers need to go to school. They need to go back to school. They need to be somewhere where they can be, I'm sorry to say, but be programmed and just be normal.
I know. Oh, by the way, we got a response from Matt in San Francisco. A couple of things. Our fellow Americans, oh, Robin, I was thinking the same thing the other day. People just going about their lives seemingly unconcerned that our constitutionally limited republic is on the brink of destruction. I guess as long as they can lay their head on their My Pillow, I guess they're okay with living amongst the smoldering embers from the former republic once known as the good old U.S. of A. And adds subject line basements. I think I'll start a national movement. We need to eliminate basements all throughout the land. Cut off the supply of stupid for the incels. I know.
That's Matt. That's a good. You know what? Make them be outside. Make them run a cord from the garage or the kitchen, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, sign off a 4chan, honey, and go get some sunshine and clean your room.
Freshen up a little bit. You know, life is good, man. Life is good as you want to make it, man. Just, I know it's hard. Life is hard, but sometimes, man, you just got to get out there and be and treat people the way you want to be treated. Be nice. You don't know who you might be talking to. People have a bad day.
Why is it so hard to be decent? I know we keep asking that, but why is it? What is it? Because, you know, when you're dealing with maggots, and, you know, we're just talking amongst ourselves. I don't run around calling people maggots. But out, you know, out in the wilds, you know, when you go down to the settlements for provisions or whatever, they're the ones who will walk up to you burping and burbling and grumbling and grunting and hooting and barking about Joe Biden and the gas prices. God damn it. And you haven't said a word. You're not wearing anything political.
But by God, they got their Let's Go Brandon sticker on the back of their car because they think it's so fucking clever. Because whatever else you're thinking, I'm thinking Let's Go Biden, or Let's Go Brandon.
Because you know Joe Biden, he's mentally
Yeah, he's mentally unfit. He can't hardly form a single sentence. They dropped him on his head as a baby. That's not even real Joe Biden up there anymore. He's in a nursing home somewhere.
He ain't doing nothing. Somebody pulling his strings. Trump knew what he was doing. He's pretty wise.
It's like for the 4 years of Trump, the right wing just stockpiled all the actual true stories about Trump and recycled them and made them lies about Biden. And look how many of the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol fell for the Biden is a groper bullshit.
Ain't that some
shit?
And you know what? Look, you know what? Honestly, look at the things that he has done, the things he's implemented that he could do. That you set a tone when you take control over fleet vehicles. And he was setting a tone. Now, hybrid vehicles are not as expensive as some people think. You know, I hear all this rhetoric, but I know because I've been in the market. You're paying them $1,000 more for a top. For a top-of-the-line vehicle, it's $1,000 more, which means it goes down from there. So if you're looking at a Prius, it ain't that much. I mean, and now there's all types of...
And the battery technology continues to improve, but the thing that always put me off was the back end when the battery goes bad. You know, in the early days, it was at least $5,000 to replace the battery, and I think the early days of the GM ones, it was $15,000. But hell, they got, there are a couple of manufacturers out there now who are saying lifetime warranty on the battery.
I have that. It's constructed, it's portions, they're units. It's a series of batteries. The big battery pack, it's a series of batteries. So a certain cell might go bad, you know, after a while, but it has a lifetime and it's supposed to just last the life of the car. And honestly, like, because I was driving somebody else's car. When I got back, I was like, damn, I still have, you know, all this gas in the car, man. I mean, I was burning up a bunch. I didn't spend this much money on gas in 2 years.
You probably could have driven to where you were going cheaper than you got on the train for.
I did, but I didn't want to take the car. I didn't want to take the car.
Didn't want to fool with parking and all that crap.
All that crap. I knew it was going to be emotional. I just didn't want to have my car there. I'll probably rent a car. I don't know. We'll see. But it's not, don't be scared. And hybrid is the way to go because, you know, it charges up, well, depending on how your setup is, you know, when you put the brakes on a Toyota, you know, it charges up when you hit the brakes. It charges up when you really hit the gas really hard. Because it's got two motors.
Well, I mean, I remember riding around in a Chevy Volt years and years and years ago, and the loudest thing about that car was the air conditioner. The air conditioner compressor was louder than the motor.
Oh, I was chilling today. I was like, wow, this is real. I was out, like, you know, on the edge of town. It was, you know, I just left. It was nice, man. It was peaceful. And just quiet. And just, it's just the way, it's an evolution. It's the next step. Because full electric, now people don't know, if you're an elitist, there are charging, like we have hidden charging stations here in this little town. And you got to search, but they're out there. Because, you know, people are driving Teslas and such. You know, so there are charging stations. But that's why hybrids are the best way to go for right now. Because it's amazing. $20 worth of gas, man. When gas was normally priced, shit, man, that's a month. That's a month. And, you know, when I first got it, I was driving fast because it will go fast. It will go real fast. But, shit, now, man, I'm like Mr. Tweedlebug, man, just fucking tooling around. And, shit, And speaking of Mr. Tweedlebug, Thank you for scaring me, even though you didn't know it. Now, and this is a total shift, so get ready. What do we do? What does the United States government do when we know we had a criminal in the office of the presidency? Do we hold them to account? Like the shithole countries? Because that sets a precedent, or do we stay in the course and just kind of let them fade into the sunset?
I mean, this is some serious shit. I mean, the evidence, I mean, we already knew this, really, a lot of us, but it's just, it's out there now. It's proven. Everything is suspected. It's probably worse than we even know. And Mark Meadows with his fucking little nefarious ass. Fuck, I want him to go to fucking prison, like, yesterday.
Oh yeah, let that minister of the gospel go do some Saint Paul in Saint Paul in chains time. Yeah, I'm there.
Was he not registered in different states to vote?
Yes, three: North Carolina, three. South Carolina, and Virginia, at the same time.
So let's get this very fucking straight, people. When you talk to your little fucking relatives and little dickhead friends, remind them, you talk about voter fraud, who really commits the voter fraud? That's what the fucking problem is, because I know this, because I travel in these circles. These motherfuckers got a house at the beach, in the mountains, a couple cities, and they register to vote everywhere, and they do. And they laugh about it. They think it's fucking fun. I know this for a fact.
Oh, I know, you're not kidding.
See? So they need to shut the fuck up and sit down, man. Seriously.
I couldn't agree more.
So, and, you know, it kind of burns me out. I mean, you worry about, like, really, it just sounds like you don't want, like, regular people to vote.
Well, I mean, The existential philosophy for the Republican Party right now is to keep as many people from voting as possible, because at this moment in time, Todd, right now, if everybody who wanted to vote could vote and didn't have their vote suppressed, I'm not talking about undocumented immigrants. I'm not talking about anybody like that. I'm not talking about people with green cards. I'm talking about if everybody in the United States who had a legal right to vote was allowed to vote, the Republican Party would cease to exist. And no one knows that better than the Republican Party.
They know it.
They're gone. They're done. They're over. If they can't gerrymander the living bejesus out of their legislative districts for, you know, for their own legislatures and for House races, they're done. If they don't have the Electoral College, they're done. This is not a country with two parties. This is a country with one party and a desperate rump group of cranky white people who will do anything they have to do, lie, cheat, steal, whatever, disenfranchise, to remain relevant, because it's a great, God, it's a great dollar. There's so much money to be had out there. And it tells you a little bit about the concentration of wealth and the transfer of wealth in this country. Annette and I were talking earlier today, if I can just sort of trample on this, on your theme. But, you know, I said to her, you know, if Elon Musk, and I preface this by saying the world's problem is billionaires. And by way of explaining it, I said, look, if Elon Musk got in his dick rocket and his dick rocket blew up and blew Elon Musk up at the same time, there would at least in theory be, for a centiliurus, one less billionaire on planet Earth. But it wouldn't solve the problem, because the movement of the money is what happens to create the billionaires. So there'd be brand new billionaires because there was a billionaire died. You with me? Mm-hmm. It'd be like the Hydra. You cut off one head and you get three more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not billionaires per se. It is the system that creates the existence of billionaires. And that's what needs to be reformed. You know, if we had a law, for instance, and I'm just talking off the top of my head here, if we had a law that said when a billionaire gets in his dick rocket and blows up on the launch pad, then that billionaire's wealth will be distributed equally to every citizen of the United States,
that would begin to solve the billionaire problem every time a billionaire went to his long home. Well, I know this is some radical shit.
No, it's not. This is real shit. And I'm going to tell you it's relevant because I know that I'm going to tell you something.
It's not who the wealth is, not whose hands the wealth is concentrated in. It is the means by which the wealth moves and concentrates.
It's the means. It's the system. The system is just like if you live in Luzerne County, Berks County, Bucks County, Dauphin County in Pennsylvania, and you have a farm, you pay, let's say, and your parents die, you pay nothing. No inheritance tax. It's just passed on. No, nothing.
Right
here. Now, if you're black and you live in the city, you ass gonna pay. And that's the fucking system. Fucked up. But see, people don't talk about that. This is why tax code is very important.
You got to remember the success that the Republican Party had in talking about, we got to repeal the death tax.
See? They want to be.
Them tax and spend Democrats, all that, you know, they'll even tax you when you die.
See?
But it's not true.
This is important, Robbie. Now, the average people don't, I mean, I don't know. I had to learn the hard way. But this is why they have these cocktail parties with you know, foo-foo people. They talk about, this is what they talk about, how to pass wealth on without paying taxes. And, oh, I got this loophole when they trade. So, you know, that's what they do. They don't want you to know that. They don't want me to know that. That's exactly why they have these secret societies and shit. Because they make laws, they codify things, they don't really want you to know, like, because shit is specific. You got to do shit a certain way. And if you don't know the rules, you know, too bad. But this is exactly how they maintain their wealth and power. And it's okay to have wealth and power, but don't be a dickhead about it. And don't complain, you know, point your finger at poor people when you're keeping them from, like a lot of white folks don't even, still, right now, don't understand what redlining is and the impact it had. I don't have the house that I should have had because they wouldn't give my parents a loan. It was right across the avenue. I have to look at it every time I look at that fucking house that they wanted. And they could have afforded it, but they didn't, you know, no loan, sorry. And remember, Levittown, two Levittowns. One was.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You're you have to use your Richard Pryor white guy voice. I'm sorry. You're too risky. Wow. You're too risky.
Right. And you know, let's just be honest, you know, black people, you're only going to make so much money. So, we really can't provide a loan for you. Now, over here, we have a very nice house. It's probably where you want to be. You'll be very comfortable there. Now, across the avenue, and you might not like that too much. Fuck up, man. It's fucked up. And then they say, well, how come black people poor? Well, duh. You know, so it's so sad. But guess what? There's always cheesecake.
There's always cheesecake, yes. So I got to ask, did you get to Reading Market?
I did not. I didn't have time. I really didn't. I'll tell you about it. I stayed up in the neighborhood, but we had the neighborhood was provided well. I didn't get downtown. It was all business, and
I understand a little bit about that.
Yeah, but I'll be back. You know, I have it ain't over.
That pork loin sandwich. It just perfumes the whole place. Stay away from it. Stay away from that aged provolone. That is some skanky shit.
You know what though? This farmer's
and the broccolini, never again. No, I think that's just a joke they play on the tourists.
Well, I was hanging out. I was up top, man. I was in a nice area, up in Chestnut Hill.
No, it is nice.
Yeah, we had good cheese and good beer. And there's two brew pubs right there. That beer was good, man. There's a good fresh beer and good sandwiches and powerful free Wi-Fi.
Well, was the family fairly well-behaved? Because, you know, shit can go sideways.
Oh, my God. All kind of crazy. See, I had people coming by with bags of money.
What are you talking about? You said that earlier.
It's just crazy shit, man. I'm not kidding. Oh, it's just, yeah, you got, man, all kind of crazy shit. I got stories.
I take it these are going to be the offline kinds of stories.
$50,000 in a bag.
Get the fuck out. Quit it. What?
I'm not kidding you, man. I'm telling you. That shit, I was like, I don't think I should do this. I'm not fucking kidding, man. Look, it's a lot of shit going on, man. Oh, no, I'm on a straight and narrow, man. I can't be fucking around, no.
No, you said, I mean, there's a certain amount of cultural cluelessness that obtains with just about anybody. And I remember a long, long time ago, I went to a Polish wedding in Pittsburgh. I was friends with both the bride and the groom. And
did you really?
And it was,
oh my God.
It was a Catholic wedding, of course. And I took the girl I was seeing at the time with me, and we were both just culturally blown away, because over there in the corner was this big, tall-ass, like, I've got 13 parrots kind of bird cage, okay? Only there weren't no birds in it. And people just kept walking over and popping a little envelope in the bird cage, and by the time it was all over, this huge-ass bird cage was just full of envelopes with money in it. And the girl I was seeing at the time said, "Oh, Robin, we're having a bird cage at ours." I'm like, "I don't think we get to. This ain't our culture." She's like, "Well, it's not mine either." She was Jewish. And she was like, "Not mine either, but we're going to introduce..." I remember her words to this day. "We're going to introduce a new tradition to my people."
My people.
I said, "Hon, the Southern Baptists are not going to fall for it. They'll leave a dime under the coffee cup."
Oh, you give me TV.
Sorry. And you know, this is another thing. I told you about that subreddit I found, you know, Not How Women Work.
Yeah.
I was reminded of Scott. Because I found this one exchange between some woman and some disgusting dude who was like, you know, "Why don't you want to date me?" And she tried and she tried and she tried, and he still couldn't get it. And at one point she said, "Oh my God, this is like trying to teach math to a monkey." And I immediately remembered the night that Scott absolutely destroyed me when he said, "I swear, Robin, it's like watching a monkey do a math problem." Oh God. Because I was right back, see what? I was right back to that mental image. The chimpanzee with the pencil, and he's licking the pencil end with his tongue, scratching his little head.
With the visor.
With the visor and the lamp and looking at the paper. 2 + 2. What? Oh, thank God I didn't do my makeup today. My mascara would be running. Oh, God.
Oh, that's too fucking funny.
Jesus, it's like teaching monkey math to a monkey.
Oh, shit. Look, and it's the whole stuff in the background going, "Money."
What? Ronnie, the ghost of Ronnie Reagan. No, Bonzo. Oh, and I got huge thanks to send out.
It was looking kind of grim, but Ralph's challenge has been met, so that took us down to 1050. And then and Ralph's challenge got met thanks to Scott, and then Gino jumped in. And Gino did have a show on me. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah, so
really?
We, yeah, so that takes Gino. Us down to, let's see, 785, which is huge. 785 is the fundraising goal now, and I've got a fighting chance of at least paying one, if not two, bills.
Fighting chance. Oh.
It's all we need is a fighting chance.
What the fuck is up with those storms, man? That shit didn't sound good.
While I was knocked off the air for the second time, we did. It was like I started hearing the clack, 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 and as soon as the program's over, I'm gonna run outside and just see if the car got beat up. Because I mean, it hailed for a while, you know, and it's hard. And you see the hailstones just bouncing off of your hood, and you're like, oh, this sucks. And well, they looked, and you know, that was quarter-sized hail.
Uh-oh. That shit ain't no joke, man.
And I was reminded of the job that David Letterman said he lost as a weatherman in Indianapolis that time when he went on the air and said, ladies and gentlemen, there's hail the size of canned hams. They're like, Dave, you can't say that. You just can't say that.
Robin, let me ask you this.
Yeah?
You brought David Letterman. And I'm concerned about Merrick Garland and if they're going to prosecute or not. But you know, I'm just curious because you know we're around the same age. And you know, late night when David Letterman first started, man, and you know you do a couple bong hits, man, and watch that show back in like I don't know like 84, 83, 81. I don't you know. That fucker was he was crazy.
Oh, it was magic. It redefined the genre.
I mean, we would look like I was living in this big house, like a boarding house, because I was in school. You know, I didn't want to stay on campus because I'd already been in dorms and boarding school. I was like, I'm done with that. I need to live out. And it was like two blocks from campus, and it was a bunch of, you know, it was what a hodgepodge of folks. But we would, man, we'd pile up in front of the television when David Letterman would come on. Hey, he would do some crazy shit. That fucker, he got away with a lot of shit. He really did. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no, he kept the NBC censors in a state of almost catatonia.
Yeah. Okay, so I just had to get it because you were, I mean, it was so funny what we were talking about. But back to something serious. And
yeah, there's no paucity of something serious. Is.
No, there's not. But, all right, so what is the right decision for the Attorney General? Does he do it's quite clear because it's, this shit gets worse every fucking year, and this shit is looking fucked. I mean, people are coming out the wood. People are actually turning. I'm telling you. Even where I live, they're like, oh. I'm like, I told you. I'm like, you weren't listening. I told you it was fucked up. This shit is looking shady as hell, man. And who knows how many more people are coming out, man. When you played that tape right before you let me on the phone of Liz Cheney, man, that shit sounded like some dragnet shit.
Exactly. This is the city. Right.
I mean, they know, like, she already knows, like, she ain't no joke. And she's an institutionalist, you know, and we, you know, come on. I'm an institutionalist, you know. This is exactly why I still...
Like Biden?
Well, you know, Joe's doing... You know what? He's getting a raw deal.
He is doing things people don't know. That doesn't sound right. Maybe a lot of people are not understanding some of the implications of some of the legislation that he has implemented and maybe made executive orders about. Because it is definitely helping. I mean, all right, for instance, you hear, now seriously, this is some real shit. You hear people say, well, I can't find anybody to hire if people don't want to work. We're at full fucking employment. When was the last time you fucking knew our unemployment rate was at, our unemployment rate is around 3.5%. It's less than 4. That is, in fact, full employment. And I defy that rat shit motherfucker on MSNBC to say something, because I'm sick of his ass. Fuck him. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I do. I mean, I remember when the stimulus checks were going in. Well, you know, this is going to cause inflation. And maybe he was right, but the cause of the inflation was a bunch of goddamn billionaires saying, you know, the proles have a little money in their pockets. We need to take it as quickly as possible.
Right. See, they're not telling the full story, because when the first guy was in there. And I don't remember his name, but he had a little cute wife or girlfriend or whatever. And he went to Scotland and he made these stupid pictures with big plats of money.
You talking about Mnuchin? Mnuchin and his wife?
Mnuchin. Yeah. They stole money. So that money, he was smiling. He's like, yeah, that money went out and it's gone. We did the right. They stole money off the top quick. They stole all that money so fast, it was gone. It was gone, and I think that's going to come out. I think that might come out, because this trail, this stuff, people are talking, man. Just like, I never would have thought that a white woman would approach me in a park here and say, what are you listening to? I was like, I'm listening to the hearing. This is American history. And I told her where I work. She's like, oh, you know, but because I want her to come by. I want to help her. You know what I mean? I encourage everyone to learn, because I learn every day. I'm an unfortunate American who actually has the opportunity to be intellectually stimulated every single day. I learn something new every single day, and it's a good
thing. And that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why we're here. Because, like you said, ain't here but for a minute.
And you know what? And I want to shout out to Scott. I hope Scott is doing okay today. And I want to make some room for somebody else, man. It's so nice to talk to you, lady.
Oh, I was so happy when I saw you called in. And by the way, you got Scott is listening. And you got a note from, we got a note from Jude. She said, in regard to the hearings, it was the first full January 6th hearing that I was able to be present to. Personally, Robin, for me, it was an extraordinary moment in time as the door opened to let one view the concentrated, focused, of educated, articulate statesmanship. How rare is this? I'm rendered with a sense of hopeful reality. We travel in our own truth, painful as it is at times. Troubling day on this end, or I joined the conversation, but as life has it, I'm far too vulnerable this day. Kind thoughts to all, especially my brother Todd. It's comforting and healing hearing his voice. Be well, Robin, and all. Thank you, Jude. I'm sorry you're experiencing some trauma. I mean, that's the word for it. I'm so sorry. I hope things improve. I was so glad when I saw a message from you the other day on the Skype chat, because it was like, you know, you kind of disappeared, and it was like, okay, you know, send a single ping.
Oh.
And then when I saw your stupid meter's fucking broke, well, yeah. Damn things ain't cheap either.
It ain't red line, it blew up. Ah.
And, you know, I hate, because even though Herschel Walker is a maggot. I hate the opportunity that he gives people in his own party who despise black people the ability to point to Herschel Walker and say, told ya. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, it's who they are.
Well, how do they not see he's been hitting the head too many times?
Well, not just that, but, you know, our buddy Angelo in the Bronx, I posted that audio of Josh Hawley having his ass handed to him by Professor Bridges. And, you know, y'all say things to me that I cannot and will not say, would not say.
I know, but you got to read it and you laugh.
And Angelo saw the video of Josh Hawley getting his ass handed to him, and he wrote back to me and said, "Oh, I know he's thinking that uppity in his head."
That uppity bit.
That was not the word he was going for, but
Ginger. Man, fuck Ginger. Ginger is a beautiful redheaded woman. You say nigger, man? What the fuck? It's a real word.
Not that I use. I was raised right.
I know.
Mama taught me better.
Yeah, I know. And you're right. Because that's probably not a good word. You probably should.
But you know he was.
Well, this is, you know what's funny? Honest to God, I had this little flash just now while you were talking. Because, you know how we watch at that program most mornings. And I'm thinking about Joe and the way he was talking about Holly's bird hand. And I'm like, he does look like he has the hollow bones of a bird. You know how birds have these light hollow bones? Fucked up! That shit is just true!
Yeah. Well, that's not a hill I'm going to die on, man.
I don't give a fuck. You know, he's like, man, dude, come on, man. You're a little frail over there, man. You know, come on.
But like, you know, with Herschel and stuff, it's like, I hate the opportunity, because we make judgments. You know, Annette and I tried to raise our kids to speak pretty good English, because we knew that as West Virginians and Appalachian people, if they ever went out in the wider world, that they would be judged by their accents.
You're damn right. Oh, you're from West Virginia, huh?
No, actually, it's, hey, how are ye? And they say, oh, where are you from?
Where are you from? West Virginia.
We can. And which holler?
I don't mean over there.
It's like New Jersey. Which exit? You know, in West Virginia, it's which holler?
Which exit? Hank, huh? Bunny?
But we judge people on things we ought not judge people on.
We do. See, that's
and,
what I'm talking about.
And you know, like I've said before, I think there's a certain value in having a richly voiced Southern person chairing these hearings.
Oh, man. Yo, Benny. If motherfuckers understand what, can you imagine what it was like at his, he probably like maybe, I don't know, 5 years older than me, I would say. I don't know, maybe 10. Let's say 10. To grow up there, Mississippi, look at the footprint. Mississippi's a big ass, like, state. Like footprint was full of just nothing but decommissioned plantations.
Yeah, it's going 65 miles an hour. It is every bit of 7 hours at least from Biloxi to
Buttercup to the
from Biloxi to Iuka.
Okay. So Biloxi's at the bottom. That's on the back.
Iuka's in the northeast corner.
So
that's a seven. That's at least a 7 hour drive.
That's a big ass piece of real estate.
Because it's the same drive from where I grew up in Alabama to Mobile. And you know, yeah. But then again, even the small states can seem big. You know, I remember.
But Chuck, it's true.
I thought Delaware went on forever.
Oh, it does. No,
I've seen it on the map. It's a little tiny. It's a little tiny bit of nothing. But I got off at the what is it, Elkton, Maryland exit? Because I'd never seen Ocean City. I was on my way back from my one trip to Philly.
Yeah.
And I was driving forever. I felt like I was in Texas or something. It's like, well, where the hell's Amarillo?
And it all looks the same. It's just green.
Green and flat. Green then out in the middle of nowhere, a NASCAR track.
It's crazy. You keep driving like, well, we're not there yet. Like,
And then the next day when I came back. From Ocean, and I just stayed in Maryland, headed for D.C. Shit, Maryland turned out to be Alaska. At least the Eastern Shore part.
Oh,
everything but every you know everything but the moose is.
The moose.
Yeah. By the way, Kate up in Canada told me. We were talking the other day online, and she said, "Yeah, it ain't all mooses up, and it ain't all mooses and poutine up here anymore."
What was the second part? Poutine.
Poutine. Oh, if you've never had poutine, you ain't lived.
What is it?
It's okay. So poutine is French fries. You know, the really good kind that they cut on the place and they parboil. Oh, you know, they pre-fry them and then they refry them and they're crispy on the outside and mushy on the inside. They put all that on a plate. And they cover it in cheese curds, and they cover the cheese curds in brown gravy.
Oh, that sounds good right now.
And if you have had yourself, like, say, a few frosty, cold, fermented malt beverages, and it might be about 2:30 in the morning, and you're somewhere around the "I love you, man" state, big old plate of poutine with some salt and pepper on it. You'll survive the night.
It'll get you through.
It will get you through. I mean, you got your protein group, you got your fat group, you got your carbs group, you got your gravy group. You're good.
Groupies. Love some groupies. Oh, God. Mm-mm. Robin. Mm-mm. What are we going to do with you? So, how you feeling? What's going on?
I feel really good. I don't. You know, it's not worth going up. But I got ghosted twice in as many weeks, and that sucked. But I'm okay. You know, shaking it off. And I get to go for my 9-month checkup on August the 1st. I have to go to Nashville instead of Birmingham, so that cuts off a little bit of travel time. My surgeon got run out of Alabama, and he set up practice in Nash Vegas.
That's Las Vegas.
Nash Vegas.
No, Nashville, right.
Yeah. Nashville. Actually, Franklin.
You know what? I'll be honest.
I might check out the battlefield there.
Oh, don't start talking about that. Do you understand how big this is? These national battlefields, man, this is a resurgence. I'm talking shop now, but it's a big deal now. Like people, like these Patriot motherfuckers, they got plenty of money and they are revitalizing all the battlefields. I don't even notice because of what I do, and you know they got money. They ain't worried about no money. I'm not there to judge. I just do what I'm supposed to do. It's my job. But I'm just letting folks know. And it's a good thing, dude. And that's why you see this revitalization of battlefields.
Well, I mean, I don't think they need to be turned into, you know, strip malls.
No.
I mean, I've been to Gettysburg. I bet you have too. And you know, I think there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken on an artillery emplacement.
We are on the same page. Yeah, I don't want this. I mean, I'm not a judge. I mean, who am I? But I think that there's a tasteful balance, maybe.
Right. I mean, I remember the outrage that I felt when they built our local Wally World. The military artillery tactic of what's called indirect firing. Because up until then, they just pointed the cannon at the soldiers and said, fire, which was an ineffective use of artillery munitions. Because
it was kill
it's kind of it's kind of too much gun when you're taking out, you know, when you're taking out one soldier with, you know, one artillery round. So somebody got the wise idea in Fayetteville, West Virginia. Let's lob these little bastards up and let them land and explode and kill a lot of people. So indirect firing was actually invented at Fayetteville, or discovered, or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, and they put a Walmart, they put Action Alley right in the middle of the Battle of Fayetteville.
That's a wonderful tidbit of history right there. I mean, seriously, what you just said, that's a big deal. So what year was that?
1862.
See, that's a big deal.
And there's a Walmart on it now, and a Lowe's,
cause you know,
and a pizza place, right, and a nail parlor, and a rent-a-center.
Let me ask you this. Some of these mortar like cannon things, some of them are like really, they're like almost 2 feet in diameter, not in circumference, but in diameter, almost 2 feet, and they have a narrow. Where the cannonball goes, it's probably like 6 to 8 inches, but it's really heavy cast iron.
Yeah,
and I'm, you know, right. So when I look at those, I'm like, man, that sucker's built to like push out a mile, like literally, like, because when you build something that heavy, you know what I'm saying? Like that can handle a lot of gunpowder.
And this was more with the you know, the wheeled stuff. You know, and you know, adjust your azimuth, Colonel.
Well,
and of course, you know, the South won that set too in Fayetteville, but they kind of retreated anyway because both of the Southern generals hated each other more than they hated the Union the Union troops. One general was a former governor of Virginia, and the other general was the current governor of Virginia, and they were ready to set their troops on each other.
Just because they could.
I'm more of a gentleman than you are. No, sir, you are a poltroon. That's what you are. A poltroon is what you are.
Poltroon.
I will meet you at dawn on the field of honor. Stupid Confederates.
Ugh, all right, mumbling.
Did you hear that? He done called me a poltroon. Well, your honor cannot withstand that, your honor.
I cannot withstand this type of verbal assault. I must defend my honor. Cash ghoul. Mugs did that, man. That's how they did shit. But now they just shoot each other.
What? Then they just shoot at each other, right? Turning, because we're running out of time, but just turning things around back to where I am. I'm all ready to tune in for the next hearing whenever they hear it, because I want to hear who the witness that Nitwit Nero tampered with was.
That man, did you hear
the sound of that dime dropping? It could be heard all the way down to Mara Lardass.
Woo!
I wonder. God damn it! Which one was it? I called a bunch of people. Which one was the little treasonous bastard that did? Oh my God!
You know what?
I didn't call anybody. I didn't have a phone. Everybody knows I don't have to use. Know how to use a cell phone. I have tiny thumbs.
That's some shit. Well,
I had a couple of things to ask you, but I'm running out of time.
Well, go ahead, man. Oh, I was going to share with you the best smile I had all day.
Well, good.
I got a giggle out of this. Woman's walking along, finds a bottle on the beach. You know how these go. So she uncorks the bottle, and out comes a genie. And the genie says, "You have freed me from the bottle. You have 3 wishes." And she says, "I'm only going to need one." And she looks at the genie and says, "Make Mitch McConnell a real turtle and leave him in a dry kiddie pool in rural Kentucky on the hottest day of summer, and his owner is Sid from Toy Story." And the genie says, "Okay, that one's on me. You still have 3 wishes." Love that.
That was on me. Like, don't worry, I got that. That like solves the world's problems right there. And then you still got 2 wishes. Man, that's a good deal. I wish we could do that. But you know, Robin, you know, you're gonna meet your goal. When I'm gonna visit your site.
Are you having a vision, Todd? Are you feeling a disruption in the force?
You know, I'm looking at. I'll be honest with you. I have a group of lights that came from Christmas. I'm just being straight up honest with you. I have them set up. They look like it looks like an expanded view of a motor neuron, and it's beautiful. And that's why I have it like this. It looks just like a motor neuron. And without motor neurons, you know, we couldn't operate. And that's why I have it here. And not only that, and I would recommend that you do the same thing. And it's off season, buy some Christmas lights that have multicolors, like I think they call fairy lights.
Oh, that's a great idea. You know, I'd love to have some of those little LED strings, maybe the purple, maybe the white, maybe some. Yeah. And just kind of string them around the studio just to make things pretty.
Now, exactly. Let me see. This is what I've done. In certain rooms, I have them up on the perimeter, along the ceiling, and then going down. But you see, I could instantly feel better. Because I'm not saying I have SADS, but, you know, it's a balanced spectrum of light. Like when you grow on plants, you know, when they're young, you want a full balance. And when they start to bud, you want mostly red. But it's a full balance of light. And honestly, God, I could feel it. I'm telling you, I've been happier ever since. I've been happier ever. I will never go back. I've been happier ever since. And I would recommend everybody. There's something to that shit. I know the kids do it. They have the shit in their bedroom, but there's something to it. But this particular, like, don't spare any expense.
Now one thing is important, though. And this is, I heard about this and I've been trying to see if it works. In the winter, you know, we heat with space heaters and we've got one of those ceramic ones that blows, you know, convection, yeah. Whatever. And it's got one of those blue lights. The blue light is so bright at dark, in the dark.
Oh, it will fuck your sleep.
And we'd fall asleep. And the last thing I would say to Annette is the eye.
It's like, because it's intense. It really...
So I found a story that says that it's actually deleterious to your continued good health to have screen lights on or any kind of lights on when you're trying to sleep.
Well, that blue light, that's exactly why I say what I said. This is a balance of light. See, you got all the colors, the full spectrum, you see. Because, right, that blue light interrupts your REM sleep. And, see, if you go from, like, this is what motherfuckers don't understand. And I used to do this. You know, it's nice to fall asleep watching TV, but that shit ain't good for you. Don't do it. Cut that fucking TV off. When you start going to sleep, cut that shit off. You don't need that. You don't know it, but just, all right, just take my word for it. The empiricism is out there on this. That's exactly why you brought it up. And it's a thing. It's true. It interrupts your sleep. And now that, you know, time is...
And it's bad for your health. So I've made a point now. I actually put my phone and all my devices where no light can leak from them to get to me while I'm sleeping. And I'm actually sleeping better.
See? You sound great. You see how nice and strong you sound? It's the truth.
So, I mean, it's I don't know what... Maybe... I don't know how I'm going to... When we have to go back to heating... I don't know what I'm going to do about that blue light, because even if your eyes are shut, it somehow penetrates the thin layer of skin of your eyelids.
Yes.
The eye.
Sorry, I got left, but it's the truth. It's the truth, man. It's the truth. It penetrates. It's like, dang, you can feel. And I'm telling you, like sometimes when you almost. In that wonderful in-between state when you're, like, very susceptible to all kinds of things because you're just in-between sleep. And you see that, like, it diffracts. And you see how that beam travels across the room. It's like a laser. It's fucked up shit. You don't need that. Not when you're going to sleep.
No, and, you know, when the lights are out here in the studio and I have to come back here at night, there's one blue light on the router. And it's like, lights up the room.
See? It's intense. Is that Scott?
What?
Oh, I hear a beep.
No, there's no beep.
Oh, that's me. Oh, God. That's my better half calling me. I gotta go.
All right, Todd. You take care. It was so good to hear from you. I'm glad you're home safe.
I love you. All right. I'll see you soon, okay?
All right. Be good. Bye. All right. Got to take the call from the better half. Absolutely. Shorty, we managed to get through this program without keeping it, without running it into the gutter. It's poutine, damn it. And no, it doesn't always go. No. Blue light, Thomas Sunny Santa Rafael says, put a bit of black electrical tape over the light. The blue light especially is terrible for sleep. It is. It's awful. I think maybe that's why I'm so cranky in the winter. But, I mean, that sometimes the science, I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. And when it comes to science stories, you know, this will kill you. No, it won't. Yes, it will. Lee reminding me, if you're going to string the little lights around the room, take my advice. Mount it on hooks, not nails. I wanted to be able to take it down to paint under it. Oh, that assumes there's painting. Cowbell for Christopher. Orange sherbet seditionist. It's a hell of a thing to do to orange sherbet.
Who said I called them? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I didn't call anybody. It was the perfect non-phone call, damn it. It was a not a call, and there's never been a better not a call that anybody's ever made, because I have a really big brain, and I have the best non-calls.
Yeah. That's what we'll be doing. When it comes time, we're going to cover that sucker up. Hey, thank you. Thank you to Scott, and a huge thank you to Gino. We got down to 785, which means we're at 1085 tomorrow. Okay, program note, no program tomorrow. I have to take my daughter to the doctor, and we will not be home in time for air. Anyway, it'll still be 1085 by the time I am back to the air. I guess that'll be Thorn in the Side Thursday. But, got to do these things. Look, with a couple of minor Appalachian Power hiccups, we got through the program. I'm tickled pink about that. And some wonderful conversation this evening. I love that. Your stupid meter just broke the fuck down. I know. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Remember, there is space for 5 new subscribers to get their first month subscription doubled. $10 becomes 20. Patreon or PayPal, matters not. If you can, please jump in on that. It's so important. And Zed, thank you so much for making that offer. It makes a tremendous difference.
I guess the Emmy nominations came out today, and Julia Roberts got snubbed for her work in Gaslight, and that stinks. But, oh well. Let us see what tomorrow brings, shall we? Again, thanks to our subscribers, thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program. Dear Jude, I hope things get better. I do. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room earlier. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.Live. Not sure if there's going to be a Malloy on HeadOn.Live this evening. Brother Deacon Asa had a prior engagement. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And proudly now a union shop. Please get your booster. Please, 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 please. BA4 and BA5 are looking like not fun, as if any of this was or will be. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet like Paul from Parts Unknown says, and for God's sakes, if you happen to be walking down the street and somebody comes towards you saying, does nobody get to ask you any questions about what is a woman in your classes, professor? Avoid that mealy-mouthed show-me-state moron like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.